Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell now for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So the Texans had their best win of the year, and they're in more trouble now than they have been.
Is Scooble starting next week? Well, it's a bye week.
Scooble didn't do it. Trouble, actually. With Scooble on the mound in game two, you thought, oh, Seattle's going to go down 0-2.
Scooble actually has not been as good here down the stretch.
So this Trouble.
What's this Trouble?
This Trouble is the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Indianapolis Colts. Now both 4-1. What the bleep? Mm-hmm. Liam Cohen getting this done with the Jaguars?
What a bunch of dumbasses. Harrison Butker's stupid ass. You know, he's missed Duval. 5 field goals already. What was that?
Don't do Duval anymore.
Duval.
RJ's not allowed to play that in Jacksonville. Yeah. It's too embarrassing.
If RJ can't play it, you can't play it.
You can't play it. Mm-hmm. They call you the RJ Houston. I don't buy into that at all. But so Harrison Butker's stupid ass. Can't even keep a kickoff in bounds. Can't keep a kickoff in bounds. He's been terrible this year for them. Missed 5 field goals already. He kicks it out of bounds. Jacksonville gets it at the 40. And then you got that stupid linebacker Cochran who has 2 holding penalties on good kick returns. Their special teams were awful for Kansas City. And Kansas, you know, you think, all right, Kansas City will take care of Jacksonville. And once they went up, 27-23, or was it, was that the score? No, 21.
It was 28-24.
21-21, yeah, 27-24. They went up 27-24, and you figured, or 27-23, you figured, okay, they're good here. Well, no, they're not good here. I'm sorry, 28-24, right. Yeah. And you figure they're good here. Well, not when they get the ball at the 40-yard line, because Butker's stupid.
But.
Can't even keep it literally in the field. Look how big the field is. Look how big the field is. And he kicks it out of bounds.
Do you know how big the field is?
It's
wide,
like.
How wide it is?
It's 60?
53.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know. Yeah. No, that never gets brought up.
Yeah.
It never gets brought up how wide the field is. Right. But not all fields are uniform,
yes,
are they?
Yes, they are. Every field is the same.
College and pro?
Every field.
Okay.
And high school. Every field's the same. Not Canadian because they're
weird. I think there was something.
No, they're all the same.
Yeah,
every field.
There's no changes when they go over to Europe, right? What about there's something about stadiums that are different.
You're talking about soccer where they have different stadiums.
That's what I'm thinking about. Yeah. How is that possible where they have different size fields?
They only have guidelines, but you can have different widths for fields.
That's insane to me. But anyway. I couldn't believe there's a great, yeah, by the way,
yeah.
Jalen Watson was absolutely awful, too, at the end of the game. Number 35 gives up the long touch pass. That was a really good pass from Trevor Lawrence, who, by the way, was quite stupid. But we got Willie Fritz coming up in a second, so we'll have to hurry. But Trevor Lawrence did some stupid stuff.
I wish I had him in fantasy last night. What, he scored 3 mm-hmm. touchdowns? Holy crap.
The bungling idiot. You know what? I'm glad to see the Ravens and Chiefs and I'm glad to see all of them going down. Take all these teams to go down. You know what? I'm tired of the good. Let them see what it tastes like. Of course, we're sitting there 2-3. I'm sitting here acting like Texans are, you know, I'm talking to my wife about the playoffs, and she goes, well, okay, so who else? You know, I said, well, you know, you got pretty much only the Steelers now because of it. And she goes, and what about our division? It's like just like Colts, Jags, and then the Titans and Texans are terrible, right? And I said, she goes, well, what's the Texans record? I said, well,
2-3.
It is, okay, now that you say, I mean, it is 2-3.
You say it like that.
It is 2-3.
When you ask what the record is.
And she goes, well, the Colts and Jaguars are both 4-1, right? I said, yeah. She goes, that doesn't sound like they're close to them. I said, hey, that doesn't, does it?
No. Is Willie Fritz ready? Let's talk to the head coach of the Houston Cougars, Willie Fritz, joining us this morning as he does every Tuesday morning right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach, welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing all right. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Coach, first of all, okay, I got to ask you. When you went back and looked at it, was that a lateral that Connor Wegman threw? It looked like a forward pass to me.
Well, the officials ruled it was a backwards pass, so that's what it is. There's a couple of them. There's always going to be a few plays in the game that are good for you and bad for you.
Well, let me ask you this question, Coach. I know immediately after the game that you can't criticize the officials, but what about like on Tuesday? Can you criticize the officials and get away with it
Tuesday?
I'm going to go ahead and pass on that one.
Hey, he's going to see those guys again.
The start was just, Coach, but, you know, you guys held them to field goals, but the start offensively was so rough with turnovers that you just kept putting your defense in bad situations. And yet, you know, your defense looked really, really good keeping you in the ballgame.
No, we played well defensively early. You know, as you said, we're not putting some tough spots and, you know, we always talk about four-point plays. You know, we're on defense making kick field goals instead of getting touchdowns. We're on offense getting touchdowns instead of kicking field goals. You know, but we did play well early and kept them out of the end zone for quite a while. And, you know, we just got to start better offensively. You know, when you play a quality team, you know, like Texas Tech, they're very good, very talented, well-coached, and you got to bring your A game. Play a team like that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You really had a hard time. I mean, you knew you needed to get the run game going because that's something that, because you know, Tech has an explosive offense. You want to keep them. One of the best defenses, a good run game. And that was something that didn't materialize. When you went back and looked at the tape, how much of that was Tech scheme? How much of that was just a lack of execution on your end or just getting beat up front?
It was both. You know, there's some times where, you know, we had it blocked and except one guy. Maybe the back didn't hit it, you know, exactly where place he needed to. Sometimes it was them. I don't want to sit here and act like it's just all us. They did a good job. They had a very good front, good backers. At times we had difficulty blocking them. But, you know, we get all 11 guys on the same page. You know, we had some success. We just got to do that over and over and over again. Particularly, like I said, when you play a quality opponent, you gotta play well. Everybody's gotta do their job and do their 1/11th. I know that sounds like an old coach's saying, but it's true. You know, if everybody's on the same page and does what they're supposed to do and does it aggressively, you got an opportunity to be successful. We got put in some bad spots with, you know, some pass rush. There's a lot of things we were doing with chipping and, you know, running attached tight ends and the backs helping out and, you know, those kind of different things. And the same thing on pass pro. When you got guys pinning their ears back, you got to do a good job and get rid of the ball. So there's a lot of things. We got to get better, obviously.
Willie Fritz, head coach, Houston Cougars, joining us every Tuesday morning right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, brought to you by HR&P. Thank you, HR&P. Good Cougs. Mike Holly, who played tackle for the Cougs. Got to get them running backs going, Coach. This is 2 weeks in a row where the running backs are having a rough time of it.
Yeah, it's something we believe in running the football, and we feel like that leads to success in the passing game. And you know, the same thing. There's a couple times where, you know, even, you know, the wide receivers, you know, got to make sure they're climbing to the, you know, the safety if that's the type of defense that they're running with coverage scheme. You know, so it's everybody, you know, and when we get hats on hats, you know, by running backs are going to do a pretty good job. When you get whipped at the point of attack, it's going to be tough. So, yeah, there's no question. We've got to get the running game going.
How's Connor doing? And what did you think of the way Zeon played?
You know, Connor's going to be playing this week. He's, you know, we have, you know, call concussion protocol. I stay out of that. That's our docs and athletic trainers. And he's actually on, I guess, day three of that right now. And should be able to go out and do some things today and be full go. You know, tomorrow, definitely Thursday. So, you know, we're excited about that. And then Zeon, I thought he came in and gave us a spark initially. Did an excellent job. A nice touchdown pass. Had some good runs. But same thing, you know, got to do a good job of protecting him when he's back in there and allow him the opportunity to go through his reads and progressions. And, you know, we just didn't do that quite enough.
Coach, did you change anything up when Zeon came in? Did you do you have a separate – I mean, they're both athletic run-pass quarterbacks. Both of them can do both. But I wondered if you have something that you feel like works a little better for Zeon from a play-call standpoint.
Yeah, you got a full scheme that you run, you know, with your offense, and then you whittle that down for the particular quarterback that's in the game. And, you know, one thing about Zeon, he's a big guy, and he's got great speed, so there is the run game element in there as well. But like you said, you know, Connor's, you know, great on his feet also. So, yeah, there's a little bit of difference between the two as far as play calling.
This is Coach Willie Fritz joining us every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Boy, you're going to Oklahoma State. It's always been historically been tough place to play, but they're really scuffled this year, Coach. What are you seeing out of the Cowboys this year, and what you can take advantage of?
Well, you know, really big on the offense and defensive line. You know, that's what we faced last week, so we're going to have to play much better. You know, both sides of the ball up front. You know, it's also, you know, you're not quite sure what they're going to do. They're taking a lot of chances. Their first game after, you know, they switched coaches, you know, they ran about every play you could possibly run. Reverses, reverse passes, double passes, just all sorts of different things. So we got to do a good job of you know, staying over the top and covering our guys and having good eyes, you know, not be, you know, having wandering eyes. So we got to do a great job of that.
Yeah, that's Doug Meacham, former University of Houston offensive coordinator over there. You know Meach?
You know him a little bit. You know, I've heard a lot of great things about him.
Yeah, he was good here. Just go watch old University of Houston offense and see that's what Meach does. Good guy, Coach, and that's going to be. It's interesting, you know, how quickly it all changes. In the conference, you guys, you know, stepped up after some lean years, and look at who's at the top now, Texas Tech, and who's at the bottom, and who's really scuffling right now. It's interesting. Well, year to year now in college football, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, you know, definitely different how things, you know, can change in a hurry. Now, it used to be took you a little while to build a program, and now you can change it, you know, more quickly with you know, revenue share and NIL and portal and all those different kind of things. There's one thing I always say about the Big 12. You know, it's just everybody's pretty good. You know, we were going to have to bring our A game just like we needed to bring our A game last week in order to have success this weekend. So that's what we're working towards.
That is Willie Fritz, brought to you by HRP, here every Tuesday morning on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Well, Coach, we appreciate it. Go get them Cowboys, and we'll hopefully talk about a win next week.
Sounds great. Go Cougs.
All right. That is Willie Fritz right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It just sucks talking about losses, doesn't it? If you're a coach, you got to live it the whole week,
yeah.
All your different shows that you got to do, and you know, it's so much better. Everything is so much better.
When you win. Way better.
Way better.
Way better.
I mean, it's not even close. It's not even close how much better.
And that was one where, like, it wasn't you had opportunities here or there. I mean, Houston just got beat.
Yeah.
They got beat by a better team. And really the discussion coming out of that game is, man, how good is Texas Tech? I mean, where's Texas Tech right now compared to the rest of college football? Because right now Texas Tech is – is looking like a college football playoff team.
So I was just watching Josh Pate, and he was pissed off at the AP poll because AP's got Alabama ahead of Texas Tech. Texas Tech says,
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah,
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, as far
Texas
as
Texas Tech
polls,
looks like a good football team.
They do, and Alabama's got a loss. And look, any SEC team's going to get the benefit of the doubt. So something like the AP poll is just a nice it's just a nice recognition. Ultimately, the college football playoffs is what Alabama's playing for. It's what everyone's playing for. So where are you ranking that? But I think Texas Tech, what they've done so far, they've handled everyone in their way.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, Houston was undefeated coming in, but they had real trouble the week before against Oklahoma State, and against Oregon State. So now you had one good quarter of football against Oklahoma State. I mean, Oregon State, Texas Tech. You played better in the second half defensively. Got no points offensively at all. And then now you're going up against the Oklahoma State team, who's not good. We know that, but they're still a Big 12 roster. I mean, you still have that's at Oklahoma State, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's still not gonna be an easy win. It's one Houston has to have in this scenario. But man, I got a feeling Texas Tech is they spent some real money in the off season. They were the number one portal team in the entire nation in terms of the rankings of guys they brought in. You see it on the field too. And I've always thought Joey McGuire was a good coach. Always liked him. But they get good quarterback play right now. They're solid on the offensive line. I don't think they're a real good run blocking unit. But I actually kind of left them. I wasn't a big fan of even putting them on the Joe Moore Award. I looked at them and I'm like, borderline, just because they're scoring a lot of points and they pass protect pretty well. But they're not a great run blocking team. But I'll say this, man, they got some talent on that team, and I think right now. Yeah, man, the Big 12 is super competitive. It's really competitive in there. Like, you got a bunch of teams that can beat each other in there. This is going to be a war of attrition because you've got several really tough teams. I don't think Arizona State and Tech, and I think obviously BYU can beat you. There's a lot of interesting matchups in there.
Yeah. Texas Tech is the class of the league right now.
I feel like that. Yeah, and Kansas State just got beat again. So, you know, it's Texas Tech to win, but I don't know that they're gonna. I don't think they're gonna roll through that thing like SMU kind of. SMU kind of had one of those special years last year. I just feel like you can't really slip too much in the Big 12, but. Yeah, maybe Texas Tech is just a lot better.
Watch
than
out
else.
Cincinnati, the way they took care of Iowa State.
Oh, yep. Cincinnati's got talent.
Yep. All right, we got a break. Thank you, Willie Fritz, every week right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, you're talking a little Zadig Jewelers.
Yeah, Zadig Jewelers is your spot when it comes to luxury watches. Yesterday, I talked about diamond engagement rings, and I mean, they're the best. They're known as the best. They've got an entire second floor dedicated to it. But the luxury watches for men and women are beyond compare, and it's the top names and the top brands that you are used to seeing or you've heard about, or if you follow it, you know how beautiful these watches are. And you can shop by brand, you know, Rolex, Tudor, they've got Bell and Ross, Cartier, Chanel, Chopard, and more, and many, many more. And they are a boutique location for many of these brands. So what that means is they have unique timepieces that you're only going to find there at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. If you have a luxury watch, or maybe even more than one, and you're looking to buy, sell, or even trade, they welcome you in. They buy, sell, and trade over there at Zadig Jewelers. So they're happy to work with you. And, of course, they have the same thing for women's watches as well. So if you're looking for the best watches in Houston, it's just one spot, 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. It's my good friends over at Zadig Jewelers.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. Some interesting stories today. Mark Sanchez is in a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble.
Boy, those thoughts and prayers turned into... Those thoughts and prayers for Mark Sanchez turned into... Wow, look what he did to that 69-year-old man.
69-year-old guy, he attacked him and
put him in a hospital with a huge gash in his left side of his face, his neck's all jacked up. Like, beat the brakes off this old man.
Listen.
Beat him up badly.
He's going to face, it looks like their DA is going to go for the max with this, too. Because Mark Sanchez, for whatever reason, a guy that was making some kind of delivery, set him off. Mm-hmm. I don't care how drunk you are. What could a guy that's making a delivery possibly make you this mad? And a 69-year-old beating up on a 69-year-old.
And we went back for a second helping. Of course, he got pepper sprayed, so it probably made him enraged. But 69-year-old man. And I saw the pictures yesterday. Like, holy crap.
Yeah. Mark, and man. I saw. Did you see where it showed in wherever he was in the garage or whatever? Sanchez is stumbling through there after being stabbed.
I did see that. Yeah, TMZ had that.
Yeah,
I saw that he was stumbling around, but it was just kind of walking. He looked like he was just walking drunk, but you know he had been stabbed.
He'd been stabbed, so you know I don't know.
Oh, it was drunk and stabbed.
Pardon me. What?
That's a drunk and stabbed. Yeah. That's a bad combination.
Yeah. No.
I mean, if you're just one or the other, typically it's better.
I think, you know, if you're – that just gives drinking a bad name.
Ooh.
Because if you
– get ready to right on, baby. Let's go.
You don't think Texas would rather have that Sark right now?
Okay. I don't know, because not drunk Sark led them to the playoff a couple of times.
Yeah, but guess what? What did they win?
Nothing. Well, you can't be great every year, John, unless you're Nick Saban.
How about it was –
but fight on.
It was.
Did
Sark.
Sanchez yell that at some point? Last
and he was
night?
Doing wind sprints. I mean, they said he was running wind sprints in the alley before the attack. He was running wind sprints. Like is that drunk? That's like Molly activity. That's not drunk activity.
Well, did Sark coach Sanchez as an OC or quarterback coach? Was he there?
I learned it from you, Sark.
Yeah.
Maybe so, because remember, it was they had a double bubble of Sark and Lane calling plays at one point.
Mm-mm.
Both of them were.
Yeah. I learned it from you, Sark.
I learned it from watching you, Sark. What do you mean?
Get ready to right on, baby. Let's go.
And the other thing that you know, Duval.
Why not?
You play things you're not supposed to play. And, oh, by the way. How great CJ is, okay?
He told me that. I can't. That's
I had
not my fault.
Somebody immediately text me, what did CJ say that he was the greatest quarterback? No. He just said he was really good when things were, you know, when things were executed.
Well, in the middle of complimenting his O-line, he said that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is, you know, he did get that in for himself.
So, Mike McDaniel, you want to play your coach? Do you want to play this?
Why?
What's he doing this time? Well, and how's he still there?
Drunk. Well, speaking of drunk,
how's he still there? Because what's the point of firing him 5 weeks in? He's always mumbled, but now that he's losing, remember you did this last time, and it was like a popcorn fart.
This one's really, really good. Okay, but this one, I don't really understand what he's saying. If you want to know the truth, who did he have a conversation with, the GM?
No, was asked about how Stephen Ross feels.
Oh, Stephen Ross?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is, okay, hey, coach, have you talked to Stephen Ross, the owner of the team?
He was really frustrated at the, you know, just like he's as I was. And, you know, we talked about the challenge ahead to get ready for the Chargers. That was kind of the extent of it.
Is he doing an act?
No, he's done that. He did that in his introductory press conference. Is this a
thing that he does like on purpose?
It's not a thing. He's just not a guy who's. Remember, this guy was a guy who didn't shower when he was at the OC of the 49ers. He just was stuck in the lab.
Like he's trying to. Are these things real?
I don't think.
Is this really who he is?
He did it at the introductory presser when he was hired. This is what he.
I know,
like.
But he was like different. You know, he like Mike Jones. He could quote it.
Yeah,
because and stuff.
Because he doesn't have the scars of losing. He didn't have the scars of losing. So it was Mike's a little tongue tied and it's a little plucky and quirky. Yeah. But when you're 1-4, it bothers people.
It's not fun. It's not cute anymore.
Yeah,
it's easy.
Yeah.
No, that was that was That's giving off. I should never have been a head coach. Vibes.
It's 20 seconds in the middle of a presser. It's just what he sounds like. I've been used to it for 4 years now.
I know it's not the first time I've heard him sound like that. I would think that in a question like that, in the seriousness of where you are right now, I wouldn't let your little stupid voice come out.
I don't think that's his stupid voice. That's who he is.
Well, I consider that a stupid. Well, that's then, his. That's yeah, his. That's his character. He's not doing a character. He's not like an SEC guy. He's not a.
He's kept it.
This
up
is
for,
his real thing.
All I know, I guess he's kept it up for 4 seasons because that's what he sounds like all the time.
Yeah,
I would just not for long. Try to.
That's a not for long.
Well, I would try to speak who knows? Better. Yeah. That sounds like my son when he's in trouble and he's stumbling around trying to find a good lie and he can't get there.
Mike sounded like that like. After they
kind of is.
He sounded like that after they put up 70 on Denver a couple years ago. It's no difference.
My JT was always what?
Yeah, it's you stumble around. Yeah. You're buying time. Like I could lie quick. I had the quick lie ability. Well, this is like
Mike's a better human. Mike's. It's ability. Is that like on Madden where you have an attribute?
That's an ability, yeah. Yeah, you have quick lie ability.
I was 93. I was a 93.
Like some Madden defensive ends, like Will Anderson would have quick jump ability to get off the line
best
of scrimmage.
Liability. Quick liability.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the best liability.
No liability.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best liability.
What's the best plumber? Oh, it's not even close.
Aduct.
It's Billy Brown's guys over at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Put this number in your phone, 281-488-6238. You will thank us for it. Because how many times have you been tweeted, hey, what's the plumber guy? What's his name? You do something for your family right now. Because if the Brown won't go down, okay, they need you. They need you in that house. They need you to be the hero that saved the whole house from your kids' Brown not going down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? 281-488-6238. We both use them, okay? And have a preemptive strike, right? You cleaned out your tankless water heater.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, it took a long time. They said, when's the last time you did this? I said, I haven't.
Right.
And they said, and I've got a lot of sediment in my water supply. And they said, oh, no, you need, and they had to go through 3 times to get it clean. And you should do it every year. But, you know, if you don't have a tankless water heater, strongly recommend it. Because after we made that move with all the kids I had in my house, you know, I forgot what it's like to run out of hot water. I stayed at an Airbnb this weekend in Tuscaloosa, and I was reminded what it's like to run out of hot water. The worst. Get that tankless water heater and have it installed by Aqueduct Plumbing Company. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is true. Did you see the pass interference on the Chiefs, the interception?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty obvious. I mean, it's not a myth about the refs, what they do for the Chiefs.
But that was, wait a minute, they did call it.
They did. They did not call it.
At the end of the game?
No, this. Watch this. Watch what he does here. Watch the replay of this and tell me this is not pass interference.
Well, he stay out of his way then. The route runner.
It was
I never saw that replay.
It was a 7-point game. The Jags were leading. The Chiefs went in to score to tie it at 21.
Yeah, tie it up in there. And then, but they did at the end of the game, and it was the right call also. They called a pass interference penalty on number 6, number 9, whatever his number was, on that interception. Remember at the very end?
Cook picked who was it off. It was 27, Connor, who had the pass interference.
Yeah, and but that was clearly. He got
pass interference in the biggest moment,
they
threw the flag.
You mean they called a penalty
actually,
the Chiefs?
The Chiefs really screwed the pooch that entire drive. You think about it, from the kickoff to Jalen Watson allowing that long cover two throw.
You want to talk about fortunate. They don't call OPI enough, but, you know, Brian Thomas had an arm in his back. And
A little bit.
Earlier in the game on Kelsey's touchdown, it was a clear pick, but it was within 1 yard.
It is within 1 yard.
They knew exactly what they were doing because all three of them ran to say 1 yard.
Yeah. Well, 1 yard.
1 yard, and they called it. And that was weird for them to call it and then go back on it.
Yeah, right.
They conferred, and I don't mind when officials confer because you can't go to the –
It was the Chiefs. All right, that's why. That's why.
The Chiefs were called for 13 penalties last night.
The Chiefs were called. That doesn't matter.
Yes, it does. Yeah, and the Jags were called for four. Well, what about the one? Well, they called the most critical one in the end zone when it was going to be a pick, but instead it was an interference. They called. Look, we did this all last year. Apparently the penalties didn't happen in the Super Bowl, but they called 13 penalties on them to not four for the Jags.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this question. Did you watch any of the Rockets game last night?
I watched a little bit.
Yeah, I did too.
I was interested.
What struck me the most was, why are these guys still on the floor? Get Alpe out of the game. I don't get Ahmed out. I don't want to see him.
This is Alpe's year. He played really well. And what were they, the Euros? What was the tournament, Dell, that he was playing in?
It's called Eurobasket.
Yeah,
he played his butt off. Yeah. He played great.
He's going to be tired by the time this is over.
Yeah, I thought about that a little bit, but he's young. I'd rather him do it now. But he was 2 for 2 from the three-point line yesterday. He looked really good. I mean, he looked confident and quick. I want to see him play with more decisiveness this year. Last year, I thought at times when he was handling a ball and got inside, he got indecisive. And when he's playing in flow and in rhythm, he is really good in the paint when he's just getting to moves, getting to actions, and getting to the basket. So we'll see. But in case you're wondering, it was Jabari Smith. It was Tari Eason who's taking the place of Kevin Durant because Durant was out. You have Reed Shepard, Amen Thompson, and Alpe. So Reed's going to start.
Yeah,
I think Reed's going to definitely start.
He looks like a little boy out there.
I know he does. He just he does not look strong enough. But we'll see. And Reed was just okay. He was okay. Now Aaron Holiday was not okay. He had three turnovers, three assists, three turnovers in like 19, 20 minutes of play. Was 2 of 12 from the field. Didn't shoot it well. Turned it over a lot. But besides the turnovers and the poor shooting, played well.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. It's a preseason game, whatever. There were some guys off the bench, coming off the bench, that had some big games, but, you know, I never like to get too excited for that. Who's the guy that came over for the Celtics? It was like 5 for 5 from the three-point line, shot it really well. Don't even know him. But, I'm getting excited about the Rockets.
Yeah, well, Kevin Durant's going to make his debut on Wednesday. Kevin Durant on Wednesday. So he was proud of the youngsters.
Also, they call him KD.
Yeah, Kevin Durant. Same mm-hmm. thing. Yeah, a lot of people they say KD.
Many people have also called him.
Many
KD.
People have said that. Many people have said that. But there is so much. Listen, the Texans are in some trouble this year. The Chiefs are now 2-3, right? And they're going to have a hard time. They just asked which team is going to have a harder time making the playoffs: the Ravens or the Chiefs. By far, the Ravens are going to have a harder time. First of all, they don't have the quarterback, and we'll see when he comes back. But they're 1-4, and well, the Chiefs are in a tougher division, that's for sure. So you can pick up some wins in the AFC North right now. It's so unbelievable. What was thought to be the hardest division the last few years is now the easiest, and it's easiest by far. I mean, Cincinnati's terrible, Cleveland's terrible, the Ravens are terrible. And the Steelers aren't that good, and they're going to walk away with the division.
Everything coming up Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
Everything's coming up Rodgers.
How's it feel now, Jets?
Well, they're old. Well, they're miserable for other reasons.
Yeah, he sucked with the Jets, though. He wasn't very good with the Jets.
Oh,
it was
look
time
at
for
his numbers.
It was time for both of them to move on. No, look, go look at how the games
his
turned
numbers.
Out.
Go look
no,
at
his numbers weren't good either.
Yeah, maybe it was the his maybe numbers. It was just being with the
nah,
Jets.
Maybe it was.
Oh, maybe
Aaron,
Sam Darnold.
You watched
saying,
him.
Oh, how's
wait,
is
wait,
it?
Wait, wait, wait. The Jets
you
are bad. You watched him. Aaron Rodgers
well,
wasn't good.
Well,
with the
but
Jets.
How about as soon as you get away from there?
No. There's no question. Aaron Rodgers was one of the problems.
He contributed
last year too.
To them being
he wasn't
bad.
Good. He was supposed to. You know how much money he's taken up in the cap and how he played? Wasn't good.
He's no Connor
and
McDavid.
The problem for Aaron Glenn is that they went from being one of the top five defenses to like terrible.
No.
What else do you have? I mean, you put everything in Justin Fields. Let's say, hey, and people brought this up, and it's true. Dan Campbell won three games his first year. He won three games, and then, you know, by his third season, now, I don't know that Aaron Glenn's on the same path. And I don't, last I checked, he doesn't have Brad Holmes or the same ownership group that Detroit has. But You know, Aaron should be given longer than a year. My gosh. That's not a good situation. It's a bad deal. And Aaron Rodgers is lucked off. Aaron's also lucked into one of the strangely weakest divisions, like with no Joe Burrow. Jake Browning stinks.
Yeah.
I'm glad he had 3 touchdowns and a half. He also, it kind of masked the fact he had 3 interceptions also. Yeah. But he has played terrible since then.
So
Jake Browning is the backup quarterback with the Bengals.
I was listening to Rich Eisen yesterday, and he had Mike Mayock on. And Mike Mayock said, why? Okay, first call I make is to Atlanta. Get Kirk Cousins over here.
Yeah.
Why are you wasting the season? Because you do. You went all in with Higgins.
With Ravens, yeah.
You went all in. I mean, so what are you doing? You can't Jake Browning.
I don't know what Arizona's
asking for.
Now,
Jake Browning was better last year. You know,
2023.
I'm thinking Jake Browning is going to be okay.
Yeah, it was 2023 because Burrow played the entire year last year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the year before, Jake Browning was pretty good.
Yeah, he was fine.
This
year
he has 6 touchdowns and 8 interceptions.
Yeah, he's not good. Not good. So maybe they make a move now. But I could see where they would say, oh, we're okay with Jake. Remember, we had Jake before. I think they should make give a second rounder for Davis Mills.
Mm. I would.
Yeah, I would too.
I would. Have you seen how you good would that guy as a Bengals preseason?
As a Bengals GM, you would, or as a Texan?
If I was the Bengals GM, that's what I would do.
So while you would feed a second round pick for the Texans.
Yeah,
I mean the Bengals are 2-3 with the Texans are. Honestly,
yeah.
Why would you not go get Kirk Cousins now? You got to play some hardball with Atlanta too. What's that's the
cap,
problem is Atlanta has all the leverage on you.
And what is their cap like?
Well, it's the Bengals. Surely they have money available, but no, you're probably right. I mean, they're wide receivers.
And we got to pay him money.
And they gave Hendrickson
the Brown family not paying. They're just not paying.
They're not trading for Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
No.
To pay him for
they're a minus 70.
I take it back. I take it all.
You know the Bengals are minus 71.
If I was the GM, he'd fire me.
The Bengals are the worst
immediately.
The Bengals have the worst score differential in the AFC.
Well, they're terrible. That's
minus 71. Actually, I take it back. In all of professional football, the Bengals are the worst in professional football at minus 71.
And they're 2-3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Your Houston Texans are sitting at plus 47. We're 2-3.
How about that?
And the Jaguars are 4-1. They're plus 27.
So, this Rich Gannon thing. Jonathan Gannon thing. Did you want to play it? Jonathan Gannon not only bumped, he kind of took a swipe.
Slapped at his
head. Amari DeMarcado after he dropped the ball going, listen, if I'm the head coach, I do that too. Okay? What? I can't punch him because he lost the game for me?
I don't know if punching people because they make mistakes is.
Hey, it works for Mark Sanchez.
Did it?
Well,
he's catching a felony.
Until he got stabbed.
He's catching a felony. I don't think it's working.
A few felonies. He's catching a few.
Yeah, so I'm going to go keep your hands to yourself.
Well, but it's football. It's on the football field. It's all good. Woody Hayes, it worked out for him.
Oh, wasn't that his last game as a coach when he did that to an opposing player?
Yeah, it was an opposing player, but you can do it to your own players.
Well.
You never got... Oh my God! I got dragged around by my face mask.
Well, you—that was your entire school.
A coach with a baseball bat used to come up and hit you.
Well, the priest hit you as well.
If you weren't lined up right on the defensive line,
coaches, priests—they all beat on you.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they did. Yes, they did. That's right. So, how do you learn unless you get beat on?
Did you? I don't think you're not a guy who looks like they learned anything.
Here is Jonathan Gannon. He's not, this says bumping, not really bumping, but here's Jonathan Gannon on the altercation.
I didn't see the video, David, but, I actually, I woke up this morning and, didn't feel great about it, honestly. And, so in the team meeting, I addressed it. I apologized to Omari, apologized to the team. And I just told him I kind of let the moment of what happened get the better of me there. Obviously, like I try to be emotionally stable and calm because my job is to solve problems when during a game and kind of lead the charge on that. So it's not really who I am, who I want to be, and I told the guys that today. So it's a mistake by me, and it's just like everybody in there. Everybody made some type of mistake yesterday. which is, you know, culminates to why we didn't win the game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's an internal. I mean, it's look, in today's day and age, this could turn into a big story. It's one that's going to be handled on the team. If the team gets really offended by it, then Gannon will pay the price because guys won't buy into him. And
when he's in his office, maybe getting a quick 10 minutes, will a bunch of Cardinals put soap in a sock and just beat him with it?
They might beat Mercado.
What about Coke cans?
Imari Di Mercado, they may hit him with the Coke cans.
Well, he already got hit, so.
Yeah, but he cost his team. That could be playoff shares.
When you say, well.
He may have messed with people's
money.
He
cost his team, the guy who picked it off and then fumbled it and wound up in the end zone.
What a bunch of goofs.
Listen, he's right about that, though. Because you can't blame a player for losing his head on the field by punching another guy or something when you know he feels like he's being wronged by the opposing player and then gets a 15-yard penalty. Because if you can't hold your own emotions, I mean, he is right about
that.
Yeah,
that's a tough sell.
Yeah, it is. It is. So, I mean, and like Sark, look at Sanchez. Is like, what? This is what we do.
Do you think Sark gave a call to Mark and said, hey, man, what are you doing?
What you doing?
Well, Sark would say, I didn't beat up a 69-year-old while I had my issues, right?
Yeah.
So but Sark came
I
out
I learned
ahead.
It from you, Sark.
I was trying to figure. I didn't look it up. I was trying to make sure they were together at one point. Either way, it's tough. It's tough for USC.
Yeah, a tough day for USC, no question. They were clearly the underdog.
If he's the most infamous, OJ's still the most infamous.
Oh.
Crime doer.
That's going to be tough to beat.
Yeah,
That's going to be tough to beat.
Is Sanchez in the top five?
Of USC?
Of ex-USC players doing, say crime. Let's say they're doing crime.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else that we know of currently? Sanchez? Oh, there's a doc about, I don't know if he was a former special teamer or kicker. There's a doc maybe on Netflix about a USC player who turned into like, big in the drug game.
I gotta find.
Hey, where is it?
I think there. I don't know which streaming service it, but there's a documentary about a USC player. He wasn't like a really good one, maybe a special teamer, and he became like a gopher for a drug.
Everybody's gotta have a job.
A drug ring. I gotta find it.
A gopher?
Kind of. He was like an intermediary.
Nice. Everybody's got to have something to look forward to.
No, I don't know if that's what we're talking about.
For you to talk under
cocaine quarterback, signal caller for the cartel. That's the name of it. I knew I saw this.
I'm Googling
it's
where this is.
It's a former walk-on Owen Hansen. It's a three-episode documentary, The Rise and Fall of Owen Hansen, a walk-on quarterback on USC's national championship-winning football team.
Oh, yeah, prime.
During the Pete Carroll era.
Ooh.
He began selling steroids to teammates.
This looks spicy.
It turned into more criminal activity. To become a global kingpin. So I was wrong.
I'll be watching.
He's the kingpin.
The cocaine quarterback.
I'll be watching.
He ran violent drug and sports betting empire.
You know what? I'm taking lower on passing yardage for him.
So okay. I'm going to go OJ, Owen Hansen, and way down there, Mark Sanchez on the list.
But he's still third.
And when also.
So far.
Reggie Bush, when he took all that money.
Was that criminal or just NCAA?
It was illegal. Yeah. And he should have gone to jail for a long time for taking money.
Take under on Reggie Bush's yard.
I'll take higher on Reggie Bush's inducements. I will take lower on playing time for the other guy that Dell mentioned. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Underdog had stats. You know, they have stats on so many things. They have first quarter stats, halftime stats. If you get a sense for how a game's going to go, and that's for basketball too. Remember, basketball's coming up in a matter of weeks. You'll have the start of the NBA season, and you'll have the Rockets, and you can take a look at the Rockets, and what are you going to do with KD? How do you think that's going to go? Is Alpi going to have a huge year, which I think he is? I mean, you're going to be able to play higher or lower with your basketball. You can tie it up with your football as well. You can do, let's do three football and one basketball. Let's do that. Well, that's no problem for Underdog Fantasy. Now, they do have boosts that they have available all the time. When you go to your lobby, they have boosts 30%, 37%, 50%, sometimes as high as 75% and 80%. And to make it even better, they have gimmies where they'll make something 0.5 yards passing. So it's an automatic win for you. You just have to pick some picks to go along with it, and the payout is going to be the same payout that it would have been even if that pick wasn't a gimme pick. That's what's cool about Underdog Fantasy. So many ways for you to win. It's just a matter of being smart with how you pick it and how you set it up and what you're going to do. You got to study the games, right? Use your sports knowledge and turn it into real money. Download the app. Go to Underdog Fantasy, on the App Store. Download the app. Use promo code Lance for your first deposit. And when you do that, you'll get up to $100 in bonus cash or entries when you make your first $5 play. It's Underdog Fantasy, promo code Lance.
Must be 18 plus and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms /DFS_HTML for details. Consult with your play. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Have you seen this? Hey, what did you guys think of what Paul Feinbaum thought about college football weekend? Did you see him?
No, I know where you're going with this.
Paul Feinbaum isn't
I'll be honest, I don't usually care what
No, but Paul Feinbaum has been a mainstay for a decade or
more. He was on this weekend. He still did his SEC Network stuff.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. He wasn't on the main show, the ESPN main shows, but he was on SEC Network.
They're claiming he hasn't been on ESPN since the interview. Since the interview with Clay Travis.
Oh, at all now?
At all, nothing.
Well, I read where he was on SEC Network.
Oh. Well, that's over ESPN the property.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
he hasn't been on the main
show. He hasn't been on the main show.
He's doing his own regular stuff.
Yeah. He's got his radio show too, right?
Yeah, he does radio show. Oh. He's done SEC Network stuff. He didn't do any of the Get Up and all that other stuff.
Well, I saw this interview and I thought, you're in some trouble, Paul.
Oh, yeah. What did he say?
What? Listen, here is the interview.
I know he's going to run for whatever, but what did he say that was?
Well, listen to this. And when he said this, I said, oh, they ain't going to like this at all. Here is Feinbaum on with Clay Travis.
I reached out to a friend of mine in D.C. He said, you want to get Trump? I said, yeah. But by the way, anyone who has ever hosted a show in the history of mankind that does not want the president, whether it's Democrat, Republican, whoever the hell it is either lying to you or a complete moron, to interject.
He said, I was doing Get Up and First Take in New York 2 days a week. I said, I'm going to be in New York on Wednesday. I'd have to come through. He said, I think we could do it at the White House Thursday morning. Can you get there? I said, yeah, I can get there. I'm in New York.
Right.
He said, let me run it down the flagpole. And he texted me back saying, it's looking good. I called my boss, and they killed it.
What's the reaction when you think you're going to get to interview the president and they say, nope, not happening?
I was devastated. They told me that we are not allowed to mix politics with sports.
What do you think they would have said if it were Barack Obama? And you had the opportunity to interview him.
I think the answer is pretty evident that Andy Katz went to the White House
every year for the bracket.
Yeah, it was a turning point for me. I really it wasn't about politics at all.
Yeah,
it was just about the idea of going to the White House to interview the President of the United States, and it wasn't about politics.
Yeah,
it was about
the game that he was going to attend,
the biggest game of the year in college football, and I never exactly knew where the kill button came from, but it didn't happen.
Outing ESPN like that?
Yeah, I hadn't heard that. You're right. Yeah. Like that's one of those things that they're not firing him or anything like that. I wouldn't think, unless he just leaves, which is possible because he said he could end up leaving. But I'm just amazed at how sports and politics have been such a nasty mix where it's just so polarizing. I'm surprised anybody approaches the topic at all. I really am. I mean, unless you think I'm going all in on this side and I'm going to make money out of it. Cause I know people who have done that, and you know, you can see it, and they just say, this is a moneymaker for me, and this is going to be how I make my money, is I'm going to play to this crowd, or whatever the case may be.
So has the if you heard the interjection from Clay Travis, what if it had been Barack Obama? That is now, what, three presidencies ago with Andy Katz going there? Has that philosophy changed from ESPN since that point, or is this strictly a Trump thing?
Well, here's what I had heard from somebody at ESPN, and I don't want to speak out of turn. I definitely don't want to get this person in trouble. But after all the Kaepernick stuff, like, I've heard over the last couple years, apparently, maybe year and a half, something like that, that they were like, hey, they want to – everything has kind of been like, hey, let's cool it with whatever political stuff, because this is getting to where it can affect bottom line. Because I think they've probably lost some viewership over some different stuff. Because I was told from somebody who works at ESPN that they're supposed to kind of cool it now with – you won't see as much stuff on –
listen,
I mean,
Sage Steele's no longer there, but neither is Jermell Hill.
No.
You know? So, I mean, I think that it would be smart. It's probably the smart thing to do.
Yeah.
To stay away from it.
For shareholders.
Yeah. They still do have some issues that they address. And I don't think it's so funny. We put everything it's political. No, it's a social. There's a lot of social issues that just aren't political.
Right, but people put them all in the label. This is political. Right, like, right, well, right, right. Not really. But we just say politics and political. You're right. Social's different.
Right. Social's different. So
it can be different.
It is interesting though. I don't know that you'll see. And he's going to run for office. So I don't know. But Stephen A is
he's going to.
Yeah.
There's no question he's going to. He wouldn't be doing all this stuff. Because I think they understand, for as much money as they make here, there's a whole different level of power they want. I don't think they'll like it as much, but
yeah. Or you're social conscious.
Paul also has probably gotten
a social conscience that you want to change things, you know.
It could be. Everyone starts out that way.
Right. Until the cash comes flowing in.
That's right. And listen, if you really want the cash, just hold out for the Saudis. At some point, and even that's political too. The Saudis will give you money eventually.
You know, as far as...
I'm waiting right now. Like, I haven't gotten one thing from the Saudis. Nobody. I've got a Nigerian prince or a son of a prince who keeps trying to give me money.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, I've heard that's a trick. I know give real money.
I'm hoping for the likely failed political campaign for Stephen A. Smith. Because
where he gets humbled a little bit?
No, not even that. Because once he does that and then sees the level of grifting he can get away with, just sticking with politics, then he'll be away from my sports.
Yeah, but this is $100 million he's making with ESPN. This is a pretty
good
deal,
he have to disassociate if he starts running for a political office?
No. There's no rules.
You don't
anymore.
Think so?
No, there's no rules.
Well, ESPN just said no. You just said ESPN said no politics.
Well, depends. Is if he's making what are they going to do? It's just going to be only Pat. Then it's the Pat McAfee network. Right now, it's the Pat McAfee and Stephen A. Smith network.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Then it turns into just the Pat McAfee and I guess Ryan Clark network. And he has to apologize every week or so for
Ryan
a bad
Clark
take.
Network. It won't be that.
Right.
It won't.
Man, I'll tell you this though. I did the big ups to Ryan Clark last night. Kyron Lacy, they did a tribute to him. It was awful what the cops did to Kyron Lacy.
Let me tell you,
it cost the kid his life.
That's dreadful.
It's awful.
That is dreadful. The information that came out in that, you know, it's really.
For those of you who don't know, that Kyron Lacy was accused, the wide receiver from LSU, accused of a fatal accident, causing a fatal accident.
With erratic driving.
When the cops actually coerced people. The witnesses to say it was Kyron when it wasn't him, and Kyron took his own life.
Well, and he was, I think it was one of these things where he also wasn't going to get drafted. So, and some of that was his workout wasn't very good and he didn't have as good a season and whatever. But just getting down to, and he probably felt a level of despair. He's 24 years old.
Yeah.
You just think, what is going to happen with my life now? And there's still a lot that could have happened, but you don't know that. When you're 24 years old, like, I'm being accused of this, and then knowing that he was being railroaded?
Yeah.
Like, that's devastating for me, because I always want to believe that the information that's coming out, and I know that it's not always like this, and I'm naive in that sense, and I'll admit it. I mean, I'm the guy that held out that it's not steroids in baseball for a while. And then, you know, while you were saying, oh, no, this guy's really strong. So now I'm like, yeah, I'm all in. Everyone's using steroids. What? Sorry, Seattle. Get off those roids.
Oh, wow.
And so anyway, No, but when I read this and I saw the video of Kyron Lacy, like, how does this happen?
Yeah.
Like, how is this so crooked? This frankly should be a bigger story than it is.
I hope that those cops have a hard time sleeping. I hope they have a hard time sleeping. Because
there should be punishment for this.
There should be. All right, 803 ESPN, we're behind. We got to take a break. We got to talk about Houston Powder Coaters. We got to talk about the greatness that is. We got to talk about and look at the Google reviews, okay? That'll give you an idea. I was with Yanni yesterday, as a matter of fact, and he was with a guy that's doing, and he said, I went and looked at his Google reviews, and it was unbelievable. And that'll tell you about a company. And so go look at the 5-star Google reviews for Houston Powder Coaters, because Houston Powder Coaters does a great job. I mean, they're not going to rest until it is done perfectly. The primping and priming, the prepping of the metal to make it look new again. Or, listen, if you do have if you're making a manufacturing product, or you're buying new furniture, new patio furniture, have it powder coated right away, so that it'll last. I'm not saying it'll last forever, but okay, it's going to last a long time, a long, long time. And as opposed to, I mean, protect it. This is a system. This is a procedure that is unbelievable, unbelievable. So you want to keep whatever metal that you're getting, or you want to make it look great again, there's one place to go, Houston Powder Coaters. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. They'll free pickup and delivery anywhere in the area. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. Make sure you tell Robin that you heard it right here.